chopping the family tree.
Little cousin, Mrs. Gudrun smiled for a change as she opened the door. You've finally come for a family chat. Do come in.
Alderman Sheedy and Mr. Lewis entered as they were bid to. They were ushered through the hallway into a massive and ornate parlor room with a 12-foot ceiling. The place was furnished in what looked like 19th-century furniture. Furniture that was expensive when it was made, but much more expensive now. The Icier neighborhood partners were well-heeled indeed.
Is this man your thrall?
Mrs. Gudrun gestured to Mr. Lewis. I am a free man. Mr. Lewis had a slight edge to his voice.
That's not really necessary,
Alderman Sheedy attempted to interject, but was cut off.
We will conduct family business in the traditional way,
Mrs. Gudrun said, not unlike a disappointed schoolteacher.
A jarl should present his men for introduction and present them for what they are. How much has the blood thinned in you? Now, little free man, do you own property or just work for your jarl?
It's all in order, my chieftain. Mr. Lewis put a bit of emphasis on chieftain and shot Alderman Sheedy a look to play along. I own property elsewhere. I serve at Jarl Sheedy's pleasure.
Very well, said Mrs. Gudrun as she turned to address Alderman Sheedy. We have grown tired of your delaying tactics. They were old when your great-grandfather used them, and they have not aged well. That stickball stadium grows more annoying by the day. These children that swarm around it cannot hold their liquor or their fluids. The noise they make. The very sight of them. We have had our fill, and we'll tolerate them no more.
Now look. Alderman Sheedy finally had a topic where he thought he might have a leg to stand on.
That team stands a good chance of going all the way this year. That's good for business, and you're going to have to get used to that. That team is going nowhere.
Mrs. Gudrun's tone dropped an octave.
How many times in the last century have we seen it that they went nowhere in the most soul-crushing way possible? I can't fathom why these fools keep coming back. They are not wanted here. They have to spend their money somewhere.
The sweat was starting to beat up on Alderman Sheedy's temples again.
Better they spend it in my ward. Things will stay as they are.
Alderman Sheedy swallowed hard and watched Mrs. Gudrun's face become flush and her breathing deepen.
Putting yourself above family, little cousin,
hissed Mrs. Gudrun.
Perhaps you need reminding where your blood comes from.
Her posture straightened. The color of her hair darkened from white to a deep orangish red, and it started growing like a bramble bush. The rest of her was growing, too. In a few seconds, she was 8 feet tall with long, pointy fingers and an even more disproportionately long nose.
Your blood is weak,
Mrs. Gudrun whispered into Alderman Sheedy's ear.
But not all of your blood is mortal. You would do well to remember your family, or shall we find another little cousin to replace you as jarl of this ward?
She gestured behind her, and where her usual flanking companions of elderly men stood, now towered two giants standing 10 feet tall, wearing Nordic armor and looking strangely like Idris Elba. The giants took 2 steps forward. Alderman Sheedy let out a whimper and reflexively threw his arms in front of his face, causing the amulet of Thor to pop out of his sleeve and dangle in front of him. The giant stopped and stared.
You're wearing the hammer of Thor,
Mrs. Gudrun stammered.
You can't touch me,
shouted Alderman Sheedy, peeking out between his arms. We need to leave, said Mr. Lewis as he grabbed Alderman Sheedy by the back of his collar.
You idiots,
Mrs. Gudrun broke out laughing.
Thor has been dead for ages. He holds no power in this realm. You really don't know who your family is, or you'd realize how sacrilegious it is to wear that thing. Halvard, ride his servant.
One of the Idris Elba look-alike giants was consumed by a glowing light, which shrank and settled into the form of a goat, just like from the chariot before.
The goat flew through the air at Mr. Lewis, but instead of his goat's head replacing his, the goat bounced off and the giant reappeared sprawled on the floor. "Doesn't work on my kind," muttered Mr. Lewis. "Time to go, Alderman."
"Oh, little cousin,"
Mrs. Gudrun looked sad.
"You hired a man to practice magic for you? A man? I will never understand this age. Some things are just not right. Give the free man physical restraints."
Another gigantic Idris Elba ducked its head and entered through the parlor door, blocking the exit. He picked up Mr. Lewis with two hands while Alderman Sheedy fell over and curled up into a ball.
"Ground the magician with iron,"
ordered Mrs. Gudrun. Mr. Lewis was shoved into a high back chair, and an iron pipe was bent around his chest and the back of the chair, effectively binding him in place.
"A history lesson, little cousin,"
Mrs. Gudrun leant over the whimpering form of Alderman Sheedy.
"Lightning has always struck the leaves and brought fire. In doing so, it brought our father and your great-great-grandfather. Nearly 150 years ago, our father, Lord of Wildfire, let the lightning strike the leaves in this tired city. As it burned, he sowed his seeds widely. We are of the first generation. We settled here and we stayed. Why do you think this city's jarls are so close? Why do you think your elections hand down titles from father to son? You are of the Wildfire, little cousin, the fifth generation of the divine ruling class."
But,
Alderman Sheedy struggled to form words.
"Thor brings the lightning, and you said he was dead.
Are you an apostate as well?"
Mrs. Gudrun slapped him. The lightning, Mr. Lewis spoke quietly, was from the giant Ferbauti of the Jotun. The leaves were Laufey of the Wooded Isle. When the lightning struck the leaves, Loki was born. But Loki died with Thor during Ragnarok.
"What do your eyes see?"
asked Mrs. Gudrun. "Giants who change their form."
"And your eyes do not lie," said Mrs. Gudrun. "Not unless we want them to. Were you expecting Loki's children to be wolves and serpents? We were all born to human mothers, not giantesses."
"I wasn't expecting Loki's children to be wearing the form of Idris Elba," replied Mr. Lewis.
"Stringer Bell was a role model until his betrayal," retorted Mrs. Gudrun. "And there is virtue to be found in the act of betrayal. Not all entertainments are frivolous."
"Idris Elba is a king among peasants,"
said his outsized lookalikes in unison.
"Now hold on a minute."
Alderman Sheedy was beginning to catch up with the situation.
"You mean to tell me you were all living here before the stadium was built?"
"Since 1879,
said Mrs. Gudrun.
"Are you finally waking up to reality? We want our peace and quiet back."
"Oh my God,"
shrieked Alderman Sheedy.
"You really are NIMBYs from hell."
"Technically," said Mrs. Gudrun, "hell is our sister, and we don't plan on visiting her. You, however, might be visiting her soon if you don't start living up to the accommodations your side of the family pledged and you have conveniently forgotten about."
"If I'm a giant,"
Alderman Sheedy ventured a question,
"why can't I turn into something else like they can? Are you holding out on me?"
"This just isn't going to work,"
Mrs. Gudrun sighed.
"I'll have some children of my own and arrange for them to be elected jarl or alderman or whatever they're calling it these days."
Mrs. Gudrun's form shrank and her features melted into those of Alderman Sheedy.
"You're very replaceable, little cousin."
Her voice was now the same as Alderman. She snapped her fingers, and the giant she'd addressed as Halvard also morphed into a doppelganger of Alderman Sheedy.
"This is what will happen. Next weekend, your cousins will visit the Santa Stagger, much as they visited the alehouses today. But without your little magician to coddle the drunks, there will be a glorious battle. There will be blood. There will be death. And then I will appear in your form and start the overdue process of evicting that ridiculous stickball team. Halvard and I will take turns playing your part until my own children are ready. Their blood will not be as diluted as yours. It should only take 8 years or so before they're sufficiently grown to replace the likes of you. But for now, I think I'll eat you. I suspect I'll only taste mortal. Does anyone care for a wager?
The Alderman Sheedy that used to be Mrs. Gudrun opened her mouth wide and kept opening it. When her mouth was a gaping hole with a 2-foot radius, her teeth extruded into sharp points. Then she stepped forward towards the original Alderman Sheedy, who was frozen in shock on the floor, saliva dripping as she moved forward.
"Adjudication!" hissed Mr. Lewis.
"What?"
The Alderman Sheedy that used to be Mrs. Gudrun retracted her mouth and turned. "This is a family dispute. On behalf of my client, I demand adjudication by head of the family. It is the custom."
"I am head of the family in this city," said the Alderman Sheedy that used to be Mrs. Gudrun. "This is my adjudication. I shall give you yours when I'm done eating."
"You are not the family's eldest," said Mr. Lewis. "I demand adjudication from the true head of the family. It is his right." The Alderman Sheedy that used to be Mrs. Gudrun paused for a moment, and then reverted to her guise as an elderly woman.
"Very well. We shall summon Father."